Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been asking the question for some time now, what is a church? We've been asking the question and we've been answering the question, and we continue to ask the question, to prod you, to move you, to answer it. How say ye? How do you answer that question? We talk about church truth, and it bores us to death because we act as though we just know it all. There's nothing new under the sun. But yet you find in answering that question, what is a church, many can't answer that. They can't really express an understanding of what this thing is, church truth that we believe. A church is a called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. Called out from the saved general population, called out into an assembly, a complete assembly of baptized believers that are covenanted together in faith. The Lord started his kind of a church, gave it authority to be his kind of a church. He sent it forth out into the world to multiply after its kind and to continue to multiply after its kind and to continue to exist until he comes again. So it should still be around today. It should still be findable today. Everything about that definition that we give, it speaks of one. It speaks of unity. It's called out from the masses into an assembly. Though many members were made one body in Christ, we are the body of Christ. We're not only called out and made an assembly, but as we've been called out and made an assembly, we have covenanted ourselves together. The vision that I've had a couple times while preaching is the Lord has called us out from the masses of the saved, made us an assembly, and covenanting ourselves together is are coming out as the Lord has called us out, and as we're assembly and we're a complete assembly, we lock arms, thoroughly making us one because we're all intertwined and connected, going forth to do the work of the Lord. We're one body in Christ. As we consider the definition of what is a church, we have heard as recently as this morning in regards to Israel that they were the people of God. They were the nation of the Lord. He gave them his word and he gave them his messengers and his men and his preachers and his ones to declare the truth that they might be one and they failed the Lord miserably. The Lord works the same way in regards to New Testament Baptist churches. He's called us out and he's made us one. Called us out and made us one. He has given us his word. He's given us pastors according to his own heart to preach and to teach the truth to us, that we might be one, one body. I want to ask the question tonight before we get into our text. What if, well, here's a hypothetical. What if every member of this church was just like you? Would we still be a church? Would our being a church be in hazard? What if every single member was just like you? If every single member attended as faithfully or as unfaithfully as you do, how often would there be times when nobody would be here? How often would it take of nobody being here to bring about a cessation or a ceasing of a church being one of the Lord's churches? These are serious questions. What if every member was just like you? Where would the Lord's church be today? Would there even be a church? Well, I've got some alarming news for you, which only makes the answer to these previous questions that much more important. Every member of this church is just like you. So as we think about what if every member of Faith Baptist Church was just like us, where would the church be? Would there still be a church? Would there even be anything here alive and moving? Well, the fact of the matter is every member of this church is just like us. Is that cause for alarm? Because a church can assemble and show signs of life, but not have life. A church can continue to go through the motions, and there be no life left in the body. So serious. He's given his church authority. He's given his church the final rule of faith and practice, the Bible. He's given us pastors. Not to be a think tank, but to be one, to believe the same thing. Not to put our name on a church roll and then go out and fend for ourselves and decide what we're going to believe. But he's called us to believe as one. That's why he's given us his church. That's why he's given us his word. That's why he gives us pastors. Because as we've seen over and over and over again, immediately upon the ascension of Jesus Christ, before the church at Jerusalem was even scattered, false churches were in the works. And they have multiplied much faster than true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil has been very effective at smoke screening and muddying the waters and being able to identify the Lord's true church, true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're not going to be labor this. We're not going to be real in depth. But I told you, if you and I could really get a hold of church truth, if we could really get a hold of it, I mean really see what church truth is, it would revolutionize what we believe and what we understand and our appreciation for the Lord's church. Has the Lord changed? Has the Lord shocked you? Has the Lord revolutionized your understanding of what the church is all about? The main point that we've put before you in relationship to this seeing church truth, understanding church truth, and it revolutionizing what we believe and understand about church can be summarized in the statement that I made to you several times. Don't forget, when you think about the church, you are the church. I say church. I say the word church. And typically we're thinking outside. Well, that's what we do. That's where we go. That's why we began with refuting those things. Church is not something we do. Church is not somewhere we go. We are the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And if we'll get a hold of that, we, you, me, we're parts, we're members in particular of the church, the body of Christ. We are the church. All the revolution it might cause within the lives of God's people. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. When we get a hold of the Lord's church, and we get a hold of church truth, and we wake up to the realization church isn't somewhere we go, church isn't something we do, we are the church, there'll be revival. That fire that once burned will be rekindled within us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 through 17. Reading the text and then just making some verse-by-verse comments. I have about 4 points if you want to get technical. Verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of us, or one, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Are we a better church than the Corinthian church? They are a true church of the Lord, started through the work of the Apostle Paul. God gave them 2 inspired letters. 1 and 2 Corinthians, the epistles to the 1 and 2 Corinthians. And Paul will spend most of the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians in dealing with the lack of unity and division that was going on in that church. And after sending 1 Corinthians and there being a gap between the first and the second letter, he will revisit it yet again in the second letter. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Whenever I see this word beseech, somebody being beseeched, I immediately think somebody's being begged, somebody is being pleaded with. And Paul is begging, Paul is pleading with the Corinthians. I beseech you. And he doesn't come to them because he's an apostle, but he comes before them as a brother. He says, I beseech you, brethren. I, the Apostle Paul, beseech you, brethren. As we who are brothers in the faith, I beseech you, I beg of you, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice? Verse number 10, the word Lord, it's a little different than most of our emphasis has been on Lord or Jehovah. So much of the time, all uppercase L-O-R-D is God's name, Jehovah, the all-existing God. But here it's capital L, then lowercase O-R-D. He's begging them as his brothers in the name of the Master. That's what the Lord means here in this 10th verse. It's not God's Jehovah name, but it's Christ's Lordship name, maybe we would say. He's the Master. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He begs for three things. In verse 10, that they speak the same thing. Second of all, in verse number 10, that there be no divisions among you. Divisions meaning splits, gasps, gaps, schisms. And the third thing he beseeches them for is that they be perfectly joined together. So he begs the Corinthian church. Consequently, he is begging us as one of the Lord's churches. And through the inspired word of God, as he beseeched the Corinthians to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, that they be joined together, the Lord calls out to Faith Baptist Church. The Word of God begs and pleads with us to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, that we be perfectly joined together. All of these things seemingly are impossibilities. Surely we can't speak the same thing. Surely there can't be no divisions at all. Surely we can't be perfectly in anything, much less joined together. But the Corinthians are called to all three of these things. Consequently, again, all of us in this church are called to this. We're supposed to speak the same thing. We're not going to come to church, go through the motions and put in our time, to go away and all seek something different and find God blessing us for very long. Doesn't work that way. We must speak the same thing. There can be no divisions among us, no splits, gaps, or schisms. We must be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together, the last part of verse number 10, with the same thinking. Thinking alike. And in the same judgment, or having the same opinion. Speak the same thing. Have no divisions. Be perfectly joined together in your thinking and in your opinions. Verse number 11 begins with the word for, F-O-R. That's basically Paul saying, because. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together, because I have heard, because it has been declared unto me by those who are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Why does he beseech them in this 10th verse? Because it hath been made plain to the Apostle Paul concerning the church at Corinth, which he still called his brethren and is addressing them as a brother, that it has been made plain unto them by those who are of the house of Chloe. This Chloe seems to be a woman. It's female and everything I can find out about it. Another one of those women in the New Testament who were a person of significance, as we find several of those mentioned in New Testament scriptures. There's nothing wrong with that. But I beseech you as brothers that you speak the same thing, there be no divisions, you be perfectly joined together in thinking and in opinion, because it has been made plain to me by the house of Sister Green. Looking at that word Chloe, it seems to mean green, the color green, and it seems to be female. It has been made plain to the Apostle Paul that they don't speak the same thing, that there are divisions, they're not perfectly joined together, if at all joined together. Again, most of the first four chapters, Paul deals with the divisions and the contentions and the strifes that were in the church at Corinth. Church at Corinth. It hath been declared unto me of those of the house of Chloe that there are contentions among you. I beseech you, because I've been told there are contentions among you. The word contentions mean quarrels, strife, variances. Quarrels, strife, variances. It hath been declared unto me of those of the house of Chloe that there are contentions among you. And then he explains in the next verses what it meant for them to have these contentions. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. It hath been declared unto me that there are contentions among you. And what I mean by that is there are some of you who are saying you're on Paul's side. There's some of you saying you're on Cephas' side. There's some of you saying you're on Christ's side. There's some of you saying you're on Peter's side. And I still am puzzled in trying to figure out, when did all this happen? Surely it didn't happen in the midst of the services. It had to happen sometime outside of the services when it wouldn't be so noticeable. Maybe in times around the church when they weren't officially assembled. Maybe in private get-togethers and people putting their heads together outside of church. Every one of you is doing this. Every one of you is saying, I'm a follower of Paul, I'm a follower of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. And they didn't say anything wrong with it. Paul says there's a lot wrong with it. And he asked the question in verse 13, is Christ divided? Christ is one. His body was one. He gave himself on the cross for our salvation. So if you've got people in the church who are lining up behind different men of the church, different loyalties. I like this one. I like that one. I like this one. Well, is Christ cut up into many pieces? No, he's one. So inside the church, they needed to be one. They needed to be one. Christ is not divided. There are those who are saying, I'm of Paul. And these are over here saying, I'm of Christ. And others saying, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Peter. How can that be? Was Paul crucified for you? What are you lining up behind me for? I didn't die for you. Again, unity. They needed to be one in Christ. One in Christ. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? What are you lining up behind me for? I didn't baptize any of you in my own name. Anybody that I did baptize, I baptized in the name of Christ. Christ is not divided. Paul, Cephas, Apollos, none of these men that you're lining up in parties behind were crucified for you. These things ought not to be going on in the church. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. I was thinking about Faith Baptist Church. Going through my mind where all y'all came from. A good southern term, all y'all. I can again go pew by pew, which I'm not going to do. And I can recall where most of you got your baptisms from. There's a lot of people here over the last many years, a couple decades plus, that I baptized myself. And I recall everyone. Some have baptism at the hands of Brother Jones. Were baptized while he was here. Some of you came from other places in the country where you were baptized by the pastors there. But none of us, with all of our various kinds of baptisms, were baptized in those people's names. We were baptized in the name of Christ. Therefore, there should be unity. We should be one, and we ought not to be dividing up and lining up behind anybody who may have baptized us or didn't baptize us, or who we like or we don't like, or whatever. Jesus is one. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 23 and 24, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What is a church? A called out assembly of baptized believers covenanted together in faith. An assembly, a group, a gathering. People who are covenanted, bound together. A church is one. Local, visible. Local, visible. And I always like to add, it doesn't sound good, but a church is a local, it's in one place, it's visible, it can be seen, it can be touched. You can prove its existence by seeing it. It's local, visible, joinable. That's the word that may not sound good to you, because we know the Lord adds to the church, but by looking at a definition, a church is a local, visible, joinable. Where do you go to join the universal church? Anybody know where that is? Got that address? Where do you go to touch, to feel, to see the invisible universal church? I had a Baptist pastor of one of the churches that I eventually would pastor. We were talking about the local visible church, the universal invisible church, the church that is the call out assembly, and the church that some say all the saved are a part of. And this man who had pastored a church that I was pastoring at the time said, well, I can see both kinds of churches in the Bible. He lost his mind. He's saying things that don't exist. And yet there are many all around us who see the same thing, who see a universal, global, worldwide, invisible, not seeable, church. It does not exist. It's not found in Scripture. The only church you find in Scripture is the local, visible, joinable, touchable, seeable, feelable New Testament Baptist Church. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord, our Master Jesus Christ, he speaks to us that we speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, that we be perfectly joined together. That's quite the bill to fill. Because it hath been declared unto me that there are contentions among you. Could it be declared of us? God help us if there are contentions. If there's any lining up behind personalities instead of lining up behind Christ and being the body of Christ, no personality, no individual was crucified for us. That's why he calls upon them in the name of the Master, Jesus Christ, that they have this unity. Is there anybody here Search yourself. Is there anybody here who has any matter that they need to bring before Faith Baptist Church? If you do have something you need to bring before Faith Baptist Church, if you do, you will. If you don't and you can dismiss it, then Lord's not working. Is anybody here who needs to come before this church and get anything right and taken care of? I encourage you to come. Step out. If you're here and God has saved your soul and for the first time you've heard the Spirit say, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And the answer was, "Yes, I go with Christ." Is there anybody here who needs to come? Make their profession of faith known. Seek baptism of the Lord from this church. Anybody here at all? I'm serious. I'm asking you. All right. Let's take our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, if the men will come.